much gorgeous weather. How are you doing out there in Ontario?
Oh, not too bad. Trying to stay cool. It's about 875 degrees here. It's a standard Ontario humidity ridden day, but you know what it is. Before we get started, guys, we had to cover the basics. You got to remember to like, follow, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Notification bell down below. If you aren't available to finish the rest of the podcast with us today, don't forget that we're available on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And yeah, all of our posts are live on Facebook and everywhere else for your enjoyment needs. So you can share those around with your friends and get more people involved. We love to see that. We're up to 636 subscribers as we go live today. We appreciate all the support. And if you haven't noticed already, my regular host, Daryl Fitzgerald, is enjoying his hiatus from the show. He is around in the chat for anybody who wants to speak with him today. He's our producer, special producer today. And if you didn't know already, he's on his hiatus because arriving on May 23rd sometime early in the morning, his new baby son, Ethan Fitzgerald, was born at 8 pounds, 4 ounces. And we're happy to welcome him to the Canadian Bowler Podcast. I'm sure he's going to be a legend in the sport one day with a coach like his dad. Speaking about babies, Mike, you got a baby on the way.
Yes, I do. Less than 2 months now.
Less than 2 months for you. Wow, It seems like baby Ethan and to be named Petuli might have some battles down the road.
Yeah, if they're the same gender, Ethan's just going to win a bunch of silver medals, unfortunately, but it's the way that it is.
Yeah, you think baby Petuli's going to break the Quicksilver curse?
Yeah, learn from my mistakes in the past and we'll capitalize on the gold medal games, unlike me.
Awesome. All right, well, we just passed Bowls Day in Canada, Mike. What are some of the things that you usually do around that day, around your club?
Our club in Regina, we usually make a big day about it, actually. They have sort of different, I guess, stations or games that you can essentially play to try the game out. This year, they pretty much turned it into our open house because with COVID restrictions, our normal open house is usually middle of May, but that wasn't a possibility. They've relaxed the restrictions recently here, so they turned our essentially open house into yesterday, so it actually went really well. Like, there's quite a few pictures posted online. I could see it looked like we had really good turnout. Like, two of our four greens were essentially full, it looked like, with wow, people trying out the game and the different aspects. So it was actually pretty nice to see that we had a good turnout and hopefully getting some new members out of that, because early season it'd be nice to get some new blood and some new people in the club.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I'm not sure if anything happened around here in Ontario. I know there is some clubs that are having some things go on. I'm not too involved in all that stuff, so I don't want to touch on it too much. But I know there's usually a lot of stuff going on Bowls Day in Canada here in Ontario. Like, I know at Daryl's home club at Heritage Greens, they always have a big barbecue pig roast or something that's going on like that. And it always seems like a good time. And I really do think that Bowls Day in Canada is important here. Just for how small our sport is still, and being able to help things grow, and just the backing of the of Bowls Canada for stuff like that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, like, I was actually impressed this year with how much content Bowls Canada was putting out there for the event, because obviously with restrictions and everything, it's going to be problematic for some people in different provinces to bowl or be involved with it at this point. So they kind of had the cool things you could do online with, like, I believe it was a scavenger hunt, and then there was a photo of Dave Anderson, I believe, looking at a head, and it was captioned this picture. So it's kind of some cool things to get some interactions with people, and it's always fun to sort of connect with everyone across Canada and get the different perspectives and everything that they're getting. It was cool. It was good content they were putting out.
Yeah, it's awesome that they're still doing stuff like that. Obviously, we haven't been able to have a real Bowls Day in Canada for a couple of years now, I guess. So at least they're still trying to push that and kind of keep people involved in what's going on there. I guess just speaking about closures and restrictions and whatnot, obviously things are starting to open up here. as we've seen in different provinces. I know Ontario is still pretty slow because of just the strictly the numbers of COVID. But I know guys like John Seitman have been out on the greens. Rob Law, Greg Wilson, everybody out at Calgary Lawn. Seems like they've been out bowling, which is nice to see. You sent me a couple pictures of out in Regina of you bowling. What's that been like for you? And what do you know about any of the other provinces that are opening up?
Well, I know, like, we, as I kind of alluded to earlier, we've had an ease in the restrictions. We think we're able to get on the greens about 2 weeks ago. So I've been out two or three times now. Obviously, early season with a little bit of heavy greens and everything. But it was fun to always just get out. And I was practicing because that was all that was allowed for, I think, until actually Monday of last week. We were only allowed to play singles or practice on your own. So it was a very much like very keep the numbers down type of things. And then I believe it was as of Monday, the week that just passed, they actually opened it up to be able to play pairs and triples. So if games are organized now, they're actually a possibility in Saskatchewan. Nice. I know that's obviously different province to province because you said Ontario is starting to open up a little bit, but kind of what I've gathered just from reading different things online, it kind of sounds like there's a bit of a limbo there where it's a bit difficult to figure out what exactly is possible in Ontario at this point. And I know some other provinces like Alberta's looks like, I think I saw a thing last week that was Alberta released a provincials or their provincial plan, and then looks like it might've been taken down. So I'm wondering if sort of the restrictions have kind of came into place where they're maybe not as optimistic or not having as many things right now. But if you're in that one video, I think we saw for the trick shots for Bowls Day in Canada, I think Greg and Bobby were out bowling. So physically it looks like they're definitely out bowling in Alberta, but hard to say what exactly is happening place to place at this point.
Yeah. If anybody from Calgary or Alberta as a whole is in the chat today, let us know. I'm curious. I haven't done too much research on anything. Be curious to know what's going on and share that with everybody else. Welcome back to the chat. Regal Portraits, shout out to the Sydney Bowls Club. What's the restrictions been like there for you? Have you been able to get on the greens at all? I know for myself here in Peterborough, Ontario, I don't know if there's been anybody actually on the green yet. I'm not sure. I know we can sign up and I think you can book times, but I haven't looked into it too much. I am pretty excited. I think I might get out there and maybe record my first end in 2 or 2.5 years. I honestly don't even remember the last time I rolled a bowl. It's been so long at this point. I think it was the last time the Gold Cup was played in Oshawa. So whenever that was, and I know I drove past the Lindsay Lawn Bowling Club when I was working one day and people were rolling there. So that was exciting to see. Derek, we were curious, what is the rollout? We've seen the provincial things you guys had posted, and we're just curious as to, if that was changed because the post was removed or what was going on there.
I was going to make a comment, Luke. I think you got some new flashy bowls that you've never rolled, so you might have to take some pictures and let us see these fancy new bowls that have been sitting in a box for an entire year that you've never ended up using.
I actually got them during – I went down to see a good friend of mine, Dan Milligan, and picked those up. When was that? Last April? And they've been sitting in a box with the plastic on them ever since. They've never left the box other than when maybe – I've never even rolled one, so we'll have to see what that's like. I was pretty excited for them because if you know me at all, I love Taylor Internationals. They're probably my favorite bowl, and I always hated the grips on them. And they finally updated them so you could get a different grip on them, so I'm pretty excited to get those out on the green.
Yeah, I remember you always complaining to me when we would play against each other. You're like, oh, I hate these grips. And then you would always kind of like shuffle it around in your hand. So yeah. I would agree with you. Those crescent grips that they had were pretty unpleasant. So if you got the pro grips or whatever they call them now, I imagine you'll probably love playing with those.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully I can get out there. Maybe I'll record a little video for the channel and get something posted. It'd be pretty fun, I think. John Seitman says Nova Scotia has been pretty decent since the restriction have allowed for groups of 10. We're essentially back to full capacity and practicing games should be coming soon. That's awesome. I know, John, you guys over there in Dartmouth have always been pretty progressive with the whole COVID stuff. So it's nice to see that you guys have been able to do that. Oh, and at the Sydney Bowls Club in British Columbia, they've been playing four is that four people for 2 hour time slots? Is that what I gather there? I'm not sure. But again, that's still awesome. It's nice to see people getting out. And I hope that there'll be some tournaments and maybe some stuff later on with the vaccine rollout.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I know we have our provincials tentatively planned in Saskatchewan and kind of been looking at if I'm going to play in those or what we're going to end up doing, because they're splitting us into regions for the first time where we have north and south to keep the numbers down. So it'll be a little bit interesting to have to play your way into like the provincial finals per se. And
do a
round robin. It's the top two from the north and the south, and then it's a round robin. So kind of sounds like a little bit of an interesting format, but we'll see what happens. I probably will end up dabbling and playing some provincials.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. I guess just kind of moving forward, we can always come back and touch on this again. Absolutely. I just wanted to talk about the Commonwealth Games. And I think we were going to talk about this later in the show, but it's on my head. It's on my mind right now. So I want to talk about this, the future of bowls in the Commonwealth Games. And as ex-national team members, you and I both, Mike, and I guess Daryl can probably attest to this, maybe Dave Anderson out there, even the people who always wanted to play in the national team. The biggest event is the Commonwealth Games. That's pretty much the end goal for myself personally. I'm sure for you too, Mike, you wanted to get to the Commonwealth Games. It's pretty much the top of the top where you can get. And it looks like that might not happen anymore.
Yeah. There's been a couple articles posted in the last few weeks from essentially Commonwealth Games committee, different groups where they've been talking about the feasibility of the Commonwealth Games going forward. Similar to the Olympics, similar to almost any sort of major sports gathering, it's very costly to put together world championships, multi-event championships, just like the Commonwealth Games. So I know that the problem they've started to run into is they can't get hosts for the events. So example, I think it was Hamilton in Canada was scheduled, or they'd won to be the host of the Commonwealth Games in 2024 or something along those lines, and then they pulled out. And they've had a couple other scenarios where people have pulled out or backed out of hosting last minute. And so what's kind of happened down the line is they're talking about scaling back the Commonwealth Games. And the article I was reading was essentially talking about certain sports that stand alone and kind of are problematic for a lot of countries to host. And so one of the sports they're talking about that could be cut or taken out of the Commonwealth Games would be lawn bowling. So they were saying lawn bowling with its TV schedule, it's difficult to host. And then they are also saying a lot of the times with some of the countries, they don't even have a lawn bowling facility. So they have to special tailor-made or build a facility for it. So unfortunately, it kind of sounds like lawn bowling the Commonwealth Games could be a little bit in jeopardy. I hope not, but kind of an interesting topic to even think about, because as you say, it's definitely the crown jewel of the lawn bowling world at this point, where if you can get there, it's such like an honor to play in the Commonwealth Games, and it's quite a big spectacle at this point. But if they do scale it back, make it a lesser event, could be something that sort of becomes less and less prevalent in the bowls world. Like, what do you think would be a change that maybe lawn bowling would need to make? Like, do you think we have to have the shorter games for be more TV friendly, or do you have to maybe embrace like a sets play format, or what do you think would be a kind of a good trade-off?
I think kind of both the things you said there, just change format, changing to speed up the game. And I mean, sets play obviously brings that forward. Like, if you've ever watched the Indoor Bowls Tour or whatever that's actually labeled as now, the World Indoor Bowls Tour, the games are pretty quick. Like, what's the maximum of a game go? Maybe an hour, which isn't that crazy if you think about it. It's pretty quick. If you had a game where it's something else, like 21 points or whatever they play to, I think it's 21 in the comm games, right, Mike? Singles. It's a pretty long game. A 16 end game is long, especially in a game of fours with so many bowls to get rolled down the green. I think there's things to be changed. And I've never attended the Commonwealth Games. I've heard a lot of stories about it, and I know all the money, like where it goes. And I think there's obviously things that could be scaled back to make it a cheaper thing to keep it in the Commonwealth Games, if that was a possibility through committees. Like, I don't necessarily think we need like massages, like masseuses and everything in the clubhouses and all this crazy stuff. As cool as that is, and I understand why, but I think there's just things that they could maybe cut back on to cut costs, kind of keep that in the games. again, I don't know if that's up to World Bowls or whoever is involved in that. That's probably just a Commonwealth Games thing. But I think there's things that could be done to keep it in there. And like we said, it's the crown jewel. I think it'd be a big, massive hit to the Bulls community as a whole if it ever was taken out. John Seitman in the chat says he does not think it's going to be removed as a whole. Hopefully it doesn't. But I think the TV capability is probably the biggest one.
Yeah, the article I'd read was pretty much theorizing that a lot of the smaller countries, which they might target to host, because it's kind of the same group of about five countries that seem to host the Commonwealth Games kind of in a circuit. The ones that are the smaller countries don't have as developed a bowls programs. So then for them to build a whole facility, go from scratch, like I think it was Delhi hosted in 2010, mm-hmm. and they literally built that lawn bowling facility from scratch, and they still have the program going and they're still using that facility at this point. But the huge cost that it's associated with building a bowls facility, if you're not a country that already has the facility or to develop a facility, I know is a bit of a problem for some countries. And if they're going to scale it back, as you say, it might be just a smaller version of it, where maybe they're not going to have all the team events and maybe it's singles and pairs type of a thing or some sort of a scale back like that. But kind of what you were getting at with the TV friendliness, I probably think they're going to have to move towards something a little more time effective, maybe embracing sets play, as much as a lot of people don't like sets play, or some sort of a accelerated format, sort of like the BPL or something like that might be a potential option as well. But something that's going to have to be felt out over time, I imagine.
The only thing that I have issues with completely changing the format is, like, I think sets play is the only thing that's close enough to like the normal format, I guess you want to call it, like the old school just ends and whatever else. I think sets is the only thing that's even close. Like if they go like BPL or UBC style, I think that's kind of defeats the purpose, because it's, yes, it's exciting, yes, it's fast, but I just don't think that's in the Commonwealth Games and in high competition, I just don't think that's where bowls needs to be at. Maybe down the road, but I don't think so right now.
Yeah, no, I think you're gonna have a bit of a problem figuring out what's the best method, because you're really definitely bastardizing the sport in a way where you're trying to go so fast that you might not actually get the best players winning. It's kind of who gets lucky those couple ends, maybe. And
yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I guess speaking about Commonwealth Games, Mike, we've noticed the last one was in Australia, which is a great event. The Australian Open just got some things happened there. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we can definitely jump in there. The Australian Open, and I think they're playing their Australian like championship as well, got affected because there was some lockdowns in the state of Victoria. So those changes that they had there have thrown some significant wrenches into plans. And I believe I actually read that they had to redraw a lot of the groups or sort of play-in type formats with the Australian Open just because of travel movements. They're restricting things. So definitely kind of a fluid world where everything seems to be changing with restrictions and who's actually having COVID infections and who's not. So kind of crazy to think that a tournament as major as that one was scheduled or going along, and then now they're definitely having to pull a big 180 and go in a different direction at this point.
It's kind of crazy how clean Australia has been from the disease, or sorry, from the virus up until this point, and now they're getting hit when it seems like every other country's finally starting to come out of it a little bit. Australia's getting more of it, which is interesting in my opinion, considering how tight their restrictions are, even before COVID. So hopefully that all works out for them. I'd like to see the Australian Open go on. I think that's an important event, especially down there in Australia and just for the bowls world in general. And hopefully there's lots of streaming for that. I'm sure John Seitman will be able to fill us in on what's going on there. I know he stays up to date with all that stuff. So if you have some information on that, John, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I know they're still going to go ahead with things, but it's probably going to be some people might not be able to play, or some people may not be able to do the quarantine and whatever you have to do, the isolation to kind of travel and go across the country or whatnot. So just might be a different type of championship where you might not have everyone potentially playing in every event. So
right,
we'll see, but I'm sure we'll get some results and we'll get some good footage here over the next couple of weeks.
John says the Australian Championships for 2020 were just being played that got canceled after the first round due to a lockdown in Melbourne. Melbourne has had 160 plus days of lockdown. Wow, I didn't know that, actually. It's interesting. And the Australian Open redraw was a big issue due to the amount of participants coming out of Melbourne. They were planning on it being a go. They didn't know until Melbourne. And Victorians can't play in Queensland. Wow, that's actually really interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy that it's kind of like full-blown just restricting the movement of people from state to state, which is obviously it's something that can happen, and different governments are doing different things to control the spread. So if you have an outbreak in a certain area and you want to stop that from coming to your area, it makes sense. So I can understand it. It's just obviously affects scheduling of things and sort of major stuff like that, where people have plans to have them canceled and everything like that is obviously unfortunate.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know too much else to talk about the Australian Open, so I think we're going to move on from that. But what I want to talk to you about, Mike, is we haven't had a guest on the Canadian Bowler Podcast since you were announced to the show. Who do you think we should have on next?
I don't know. There's a few different people that we've sort of talked in the background, me and you, about. Like, I think you'd talked about Dave from Ontario there, Dave Kurt, or I don't know the last name there.
David Coart.
Yeah, Court. I've never met him, unfortunately. You talked about potentially bringing him in on the show because he's got a interesting story that would be kind of a nice one to touch on for the podcast here. Other one was, I don't know. I'm actually kind of drawing a blank for other ones that we'd talked about, because you've brought in a lot of people on the show here, honestly. Did you have any ideas that you wanted to bring on the show here?
No, I'm honestly not really sure. I'm kind of trying to reach out to the chat here and think. We haven't had a guest on in a while. I know we've had suggestions on the past. Some of them worked out, some of them haven't. But, like, who do you guys want to see? Derek, Dave, John, whoever's in the chat. Who would you guys like to see on the show? We're always excited to talk to new people, whether we know them or not, learn some things about people. Different positions in the sport, whether they play casually, competitively. We've had a lot of national team members on, so... I think we've covered that pretty good. Obviously, we're happy to have more of them on, but if there's some grassroots people, there's a lot of good stories and bowls and why they're in it and what they think could help the sport, and that's pretty much what we're here for. So if anybody's got any ideas, we'd love to hear that. And also, Daryl just posted in the chat, we are still planning on having the next Canadian Bowler After Dark. We're still looking to build a cast on that. Obviously, it's been pretty tough. Just due to Daryl having a baby, I started a new job and I work 90 hours a week and haven't had a day off in 3 weeks. And Mike has a lake house to go to, so he's a busy guy too. But we want to get that going again. So a nice cast with something to talk about for that would be good. I don't even know. Who do you think would be good for the After Dark, Mike?
Oh, well, After Dark's kind of a different program. I find After Dark, we're more of a casual conversation where it's kind of a group of people flowing together. I think the idea we're kicking around and probably going to pursue is we were talking about getting a group together for the North American Challenge and talking about that and sort of brainstorming and thinking about new ideas for the North American Challenge. So I think that's an idea we're kicking around for North American Challenge, and get a kind of an even split of American and Canadian guests, sort of get the different perspectives. I think that was something we'd talked about pretty extensively. Looking at the chat, we have a couple different suggestions here. So Dave Anderson saying Ian Howard, former BCB president and World Bowls director.
Just before you move on from that, Dave, if you haven't already, back on our YouTube, or you can go on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and download the episode with Ian Howard and Daryl and I. That's already out there. We've had that one. So that would be a great one. If you missed that, don't forget to go watch that. That was a good one. We did it back in June of last year.
I'm pretty sure we have an episode of...
I was trying to figure out the episode number, but I couldn't pull it up quick enough. I think it was like episode 15 or 12 or something. Something along those lines. Dave Matthew would be a great one. Dave's got lots of stories about his 18 second greens, so I'd love to have him on. Dave's a great guy. He's fun to talk to.
Regal Portraits. They also want Bill Crook, president of the Sydney Bowls Club. So anytime we can get a president of a bowls club who probably been around the sport for usually I'd say 10, 20 years, you're going to get some interesting characters from any club, really. So
that's absolutely
actually not a bad idea. Kind of get more of a perspective from someone who maybe is been around for quite a while. It's a good idea. We should take that into consideration.
Yeah, Anna Mies is another great one. Catherine McGregor, Terry Scott. These are all names that we've thought about, haven't reached out to. It's probably basically our own fault, but those are all great things. We actually really appreciate this, guys. This is what we look for in all of our comment sections, is just ideas. Because, I mean, we're just three guys and not much is going on in the news world. So it's tough some days, but we don't want to cancel the show. We want to be here every other week and keep things going. As for the After Dark, I'd love to have, I think Ryan Stadnick would be a great guy to have on, especially for stuff like the NAC, just because he's so knowledgeable. He's been around the sport for so long. He's been so involved in the national team, especially sitting on the high performance board for now. I think that'd be great. I think it'd be awesome to have a couple of the Americans on for that.
Yeah, the even split between Canada and America would be a fun composition, I think. So don't be surprised if that's something that we're going to pursue down the line here, because I think it's a good topic that we need to have really covered, because the changing up of the North American challenges, I think, an important thing to pursue for Bulls Canada, Bulls USA, because it's really a format that could be improved, I think, pretty easily. And sort of some brainstorming of people who've either been involved in it or know about it, it's definitely something we can probably cover and then have very good conversations about, because we'll all know what would work in Canada, what would work in America, and then what would kind of be the optimal changes that would obviously make it a better event.
Yeah, and I think just like we've talked about before, like the North American Challenge is a staple with Bulls USA and Bulls Canada, and I think it'd be kind of depressing to see that go by the wayside one day, which I, like, unfortunately could see that happening at the moment unless things are changed. But again, hopefully they can get some stuff going on there to get it going, and hope that we can kickstart that conversation. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. It would hopefully be where one on the docket here soon, because I know Daryl and me and even you've been sort of planning some things in the background there, but obviously when a baby comes along, it slightly complicates everyone's schedule and planning of things. So we'll get to it soon, and hopefully we'll get to it before I start having some complications with
a baby coming along too. Hopefully we can get something going here in the next little while. Dave Anderson says he's going to work hard to keep the NAC around. That's awesome, Dave. I don't know what your involvement is with that, but if you ever need help from anybody at the Canadian Bowl or with certain stuff, whether that be pushing information through our platform or whatever else, we'd be more than happy to help you guys do that. We've talked about it in the past, whether it's the NAC or any sort of clubs or anything that needs a shout out or something going on, or even just wants to share information with us so we can share with everybody else. We got our email out there. There's all sorts of messaging platforms. Any of us personally is fine. Comment sections are great. Anything, we're more than willing to help everybody out. So
it's a bit of 180 here. I got a question here for you, Luke.
Sure.
So we're talking about, we were talking about the Commonwealth Games changing up the, how it's sort of done on TV and sort of making it more TV friendly. If you were to create your own tournament from scratch, we'll call it the Canadian Bowler Open, what would be the format of the event that you would run? Because we'd obviously be streaming it, probably have some sort of coverage behind it. What would you kind of do as your tournament? Would you have it sort of the more traditional point formats, longer ends, things like that? Would you do the sets, combination? What would your ideas be?
I guess without completely ripping off the Canadian Bowler Invitational idea that is in the pipeline, because I don't want to spill those beans yet. I think that's something we got to keep up our sleeve for the time being, as long as you're okay with that.
Yeah.
I think I'm a big fan of pairs. Pairs has always been my favorite game to play. I think pairs is great because, I don't know, it's a team aspect. It's not all singles, and then fours is good too, but it's long. And I think I like the tournaments, like how they run WOBA or other things where you play more games, shorter games, but more games in a day. I think those are better with sort of like big point formats, however you run it. I think it'd be cool if with your pairs, you made them switch, like not like Aussie pairs, but you had to like switch skips and leads every game or something. I think that'd be fun. I think it'd be cool to have something streamed with big money involved. I mean, obviously as big as you can get. People don't want to pay thousands of dollars to play in a tournament, but I think it'd be fun to have like a weekend event or a 3-day event where you come and maybe you go home with a couple thousand bucks or something. Cause that's nothing that we've ever had here in Canada before. And obviously money brings people from far and wide. So I think that would be exciting. Try to tie it around another big event like WOBA or the Nationals, even if the Canadian Bowler, the Canadian Bowler Invitational, was to travel around, kind of follow the Nationals around. I think that'd be kind of neat and have it being played in different areas and be like an annual event, sort of like the Australian Open. And then have it just be fun. Have, like we've talked about in the past, like the show matches and whatever else that we've wanted to have on and stream, and have fun things going on, maybe interact with people that are there in the crowd or just whatever. I think so. I just think making the sport fun and having the live stream and stuff like that, I think it'd do a lot for the sport.
Yeah, those are good ideas. Like, it sounds like a fun event, honestly, if you're saying to sort of have those spectacle matches or things like that, where you're maybe getting the games that people have never seen before, or sort of streaming everything essentially, or getting sort of the interaction between people. That's kind of the main thing we want to push or promote with the game. So can't disagree with anything you've said there.
I just think it's got to be something different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, every tournament is the same, unfortunately. Like here in Ontario, we have 850 million tournaments a year, which is awesome. I love that you have the ability to go play every day if you want to, but like, what is different from one to the next? And again, there's nothing wrong with that. People want to play. People want to play competitively. That's completely okay. But for me, as a young guy who wants to try to like bring things to the next level or to the next space, I just think you got to do something different. You got to be different. There's got to be something that makes everybody want to watch that, want to see it. Even if you're not the average or the regular bowler, maybe you just got like anyone. Like, obviously anyone can play, but maybe you get other people involved just because of how much fun it's supposed to be.
Yep. No, like, if I were to create my own tournament from scratch, the one we have in Saskatchewan, I guess in my club here, they call New Zealand Mixed Five. So it's a group of five people and they split the rounds. So triples, you'll be playing, your team will be playing triples and pairs one round, and then fours and singles the next round. And you kind of can move your team around any way you want to format it, and you have to pick who's playing what. And so I really enjoy that format where kind of you're saying mixing it up and making people play different positions and everything. It's a fun thing. And I think if you kind of scaled that down to maybe a team of three and then had a round of triples and then pairs singles the next round, things like that would be fun. And then if you're even allowed to switch mid-game, kind of like the BPL, it'd be a fun event to stream, I think, where you could get some kind of cool formats with our cool groups of people from Canada and play it with different regions even, or kind of a, as you say, moving around event. It'd be fun to do it year to year in different areas.
And like, this is probably just the young alcoholic in me. I'm not an alcoholic, just making a joke, but I think you have to be at a club with a liquor license. I mean, obviously that generates revenue to the club, and who doesn't like having a cold beer between games? If you don't, well then I'm sure we can serve Pepsi and Coke, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? It creates crazy amounts of revenue for the club with stuff like that. It loosens people up. People have fun. People hang around the club. They do whatever. Regal Portraits said more viral bowling videos and getting great sponsors on board. I think those things go hand in hand. One of the toughest things in the sport, everybody knows, is getting sponsors and accumulating sponsors. I think with viral videos comes sponsorship opportunities, with viewership comes more sponsorship opportunities, and with sponsorships, more sponsorship opportunities become available. I mean, I'm not a businessman or a marketer by any means, but I think there's endless possibilities if people are willing to put in the work, and if you figure out something, like I said, something different that catches on.
Yeah, I guess with our club here in Regina, we have our B-Cubed League, which is pretty much a recreational drinks, like bowls, barbecue, and beverages is sort of what B-Cubed means. So it's they run it, and it's just for people in the city. So we've actually had a good turnout. They got clearance to run that again this year, so that's, I guess, good news out of here. But one of the big things that made our club quite a bit of money was having that liquor license and then being able to sell alcohol with them playing the game and then buying food at the club every week. It's quite a bit of money you're able to bring in if you're able to organize and you have the logistics to work it out. So I know it's a big thing, and if you can get that liquor license with the club, and we have gotten a sponsorship from a local brewery here in the city. So that aspect is bringing down our costs even more. So I think if a tournament is formulated here in the future, Luke, as you're saying, Canadian Bowl or Open or whatever we're going to call it, I believe there will probably be a liquor license at said tournament, and there maybe will be a sponsorship potentially with some local brewery or something to hopefully bring in a little more revenue for that club that's hosting.
And like, I know I've talked about it in the past, and people probably think it's just like, I know I've been even said to this in the past, it's just the young guy in me who wants to go party and have a good time, which is like partially true. But at the same time, it's like just the stories I've heard of how much money clubs make with when they have a bar, and people, like I said, drinking culture is so normalized now. I mean, not like we have to go out there and get absolutely hammered and destroy greens and do stupid stuff. But I mean, a couple of beers, casual drinks, $5 here, $5 there. It's all going to make money and revenue for the club, and it's going to make everybody socialize and have a good time. I mean, just because you have a liquor license doesn't mean you have to run it like a nightclub. You can still tell people no if they've had too much to drink or whatever. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And if people don't like it, well, then they kick rocks. So, I mean, I don't mean to sound like that, oh, there has to be a liquor or a drinking thing. I just think that it helps a lot to create revenue for the clubs, especially if you're not running something at the same club all the time. Say the Canadian Bowl or Open goes to the Sydney Bowls Club where Regal Portraits is because they got it hooked up, and their club is looking to create revenue, and then 200 people show up for this tournament, and then there's 200 beers a day. It's going to create revenue for that club that they never had before. And just opportunities like that, I think, helps smaller clubs grow, helps bigger clubs get even bigger. And I think as a whole for the sport, I just think obviously revenue in such a small sport is a good thing.
Yeah, no, very good points, Luke. I can't disagree with anything you've said. So
I just have such a hard time talking about it just because of like you've dealt with it the same as me, just how people talk about us when we talk about drinking in the sport. So I always feel like I have to cover my ass.
Yeah, it's a stigma. It's something that over time I think has been broken down, and a lot of people realize that you have to run your club almost as a business. Like, it comes down to it in the end that bowls clubs, essentially, they have to be run as businesses now. You have to try and make profit, because if your membership decreases and you're not able to make money, then obviously you're going to be maybe looking at closing your doors. So it's one of those things that I think a lot of clubs have kind of come to grips that, although it's maybe not the best thing to have alcohol involved or have to focus on running barbecues for sales, things like that, I think it's a necessity almost at this point, and it's something a lot of people have worked towards because it's not a difficult step to take. You can pretty easily get these liquor permits, or you can get these sales licenses for whatever you might want to do, maybe 50-50 draws, things like that. It's just you have to kind of go towards it, work towards it, and then really implement it. And it is helpful for the club if you are able to get it going.
I've got a comment in the chat from Bill McCollum. I feel it's all about scale. To support big tournaments and licensed premises, you need a few bigger clubs. I'm going to agree and disagree with that. Yes, bigger clubs would make that easier for sure. But I think at any Two Green facility, you could have almost as big of a tournament as you want, as long as you're member of whoever's volunteering and running your tournament's willing to run a double draw. Like if people know about the ladies 3-day here in Canada or Ontario, I guess. I know it moves around all the time. It's been played at smaller clubs, and sometimes at the smaller clubs, when they get all these entries, they have to run two draws in a day. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Playing under the lights has always been fun for me. So I don't see who wouldn't want to do that. And I think that even just, it's just fun. And I think it's possible. But yes, obviously bigger clubs and bigger premises and whatever else would be helpful, but I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, no, you make good points. And the smaller clubs, I can see where he's coming from too, where
absolutely
when you have maybe the one green facility, it might be pretty challenging to run a larger scale tournament because you can only allow in maybe 30 people or whatever it might be on sort of a small club, even with those double draws. So a lot of it is about scale and how big of a facility they have and how long they want that tournament to go. Cause if you're going single day tournament, obviously you're going to have troubles if you have a single green facility, but
yeah, absolutely. Daryl says, do membership formats for clubs hurt the sport? Is making money Is it more making money to do golf bowling alley format where you rent time to play? What do you think about that, Mike?
I personally think the membership part of it is hurting the sport. To have to carve off $20 or $30 off of your membership fee to go directly to Bowls Canada or whatever it is. I know that's a little problematic, especially if you're a smaller club, because maybe you only charge $100 for your membership and then you're losing 20 or 30 of that. So it's a bit of a problem. Personally, I think it was this year Bowls Canada started to implement like a flat rate that they're essentially allowing the provinces to select how much the club is just going to pay a one-time fee. So it's not so much a head count anymore, as it's more just the club has to pay a certain amount. But again, I don't know if that's a perfect fix either, because if you have a small club, to pay that amount might be difficult for you to, if you only have 12 members, 15 members or something, might be difficult to round up the amount you need. But I would think that the individual fee is not an optimal way to run a program. What do you think, Luke?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know you've talked to me about prices of memberships in clubs from whether it be my home club or other clubs, and I think some of them are okay, and I think some of them are kind of ridiculous on how much money people think some clubs try to ask for, whether it's justified or not. I just think it's, for me, as like the guy who, like, I don't, unfortunately, don't have time to play in any leagues or jitneys or really do much at my club, I think it's tough for me to go and pay $250 or $300 to be a member at a club and go there maybe a couple times a week. At the point I'm at in my life, it just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Just be spending that money. Obviously I want to support my club and be able to do whatever else. I don't know. I think it would be ideal if there was other circumstances for people like me or people who don't want to be a full-time member and have to spend that kind of money. But at the same time, I don't disagree with what Dave is saying, as memberships are too low because people pay thousands of dollars a year to golf. So I understand why people might think it's too low or too high or whatever, but I don't really have a solution. I'd usually just end up biting the bullet and paying my membership fee and do whatever I choose to do. But it's definitely an interesting topic, but I personally don't think I have any sort of solution for that.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't think there's a perfect answer. It's something that can definitely be discussed in the future. Going to read some comments here from the chat. So Regal Portraits is saying they would be more open to a both type of a situation where you could pay per play, and then there's also the paying as part of your membership. So that could be a format. I think if you have it as both at a club, it's problematic if you're going to only have a person stop in maybe once or twice a year and you only get $7 per usage or whatever. It has to really become a business at that point, and I think you have to openly try and bring as many people as possible, because it becomes a bit of an issue. So, but yeah, I can see how it would work if you had the option for both. Shane O'Flattery commented, feels like the barbecue and a few drinks approach is crucial to this. So yes, that has kind of become the key to the B-Cubed in Saskatchewan. Saskatoon kind of officially was the one that started it about 5-6 years ago now, and there that they really started with that first barbecue and beverages kind of aspect, because you'll get the people coming in, you'll get maybe 20 teams to play in the event, and then you maybe get 3-4 new members every year of people that actually really enjoyed it and want to be full-time members. So it's a good approach, brings a little extra money, and it's definitely good to try different things and just do different ideas to bring in new people and new blood to the sport.
Yeah, I guess just touching back on that membership thing with what you're saying, Mike, just like the pay-as-you-go sort of format, I guess, like, how would you even run that? Would it just go, like, strictly on an honor system? And I know not every clubs have keys that everybody, or that are readily accessible for people to grab equipment. And, like, obviously, a smaller club can't afford to have a full-time employee there that's there 12 hours a day or whatever, so... I don't know. I think it's a really interesting topic. I'd love to have a club president on and talk about it and see what they think about that. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to, looking down the line there, maybe earn one of our next guests, get a club president in there, maybe see if we can find a club that's trying some of these new ideas or trying some different formats of membership and have a good conversation about that.
Yeah, I think just what you said there, trying new clubs, trying new things, I think that's basically where it's going to start. And if it works out for one club, then I don't see why other clubs wouldn't adopt that format.
Yep. Cool. Well, I guess, is there anything else that we sort of have on the docket to talk about here today, Luke?
I think we covered all the news topics today. Obviously, I just wanted to say congratulations again to Daryl and Erica Fitzgerald on their welcoming the new baby boy into the world. Obviously, I look forward to meeting him, and hopefully maybe one day he'll get to co-host the show with his dad, if it's still going at that point, and get out on the greens. I think that'd be awesome. If anybody's got ideas for memberships and clubs on what we can do to grow this sport, please, please let us know, because like I said before, we're willing to throw things out there. If you got great ideas and want to come on the show, if you got a After Dark idea and you want to, if you have an idea for After Dark and you want to come on, let's do it. Let's make it happen. We need as much help as we can, just like all those clubs out there. So let's keep this show going. Keep it going great. Thanks for coming on with me today, Mike. I appreciate it. Please, guys, don't forget to follow, like, subscribe. Daryl's got those things rolling across the screen, being a good producer like he's supposed to be. If you missed the first half of the show, this will be uploaded on YouTube pretty quickly after, and it'll be available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, Stitcher, all those things in a couple of days. We appreciate those downloads. Please hit that red subscribe button and the notification bell. We're up to 636 subscribers. I think that's it. I'm out of breath. Thanks, everybody, for showing up. Thanks again, Mike, for coming on the show. Thanks, Daryl, for doing your thing. And until next time, guys, I hope all your bowls are touchers.